Welcome to this episode of Unraveling. I am your host, Lauren Barber, and I am so honored that you are listening and joining us today. Today, I have the amazing Ellie Silan with us to talk about, well, we're not quite sure what we're going to talk about yet, but it's going to be, I'm sure there will be sacred business and magic woven in. So before we dive in, I just want to share a bit about Ellie. Ellie is a creator, mentor, and teacher in the field of sacred business, working with conscious enterprises and communities to usher in a new age of devotional living. She holds a deep fascination with the mechanics of quantum business and how to draw the non-linear into practical methodologies. Can't say that word.
Me neither.
Her heart and mind are most drawn to the fields of money, sacred commerce, genius activation, and creative service. Welcome, Ellie.
Thank you. I'm so looking forward to this chat. And when I was listening to the bio, I was like, oh, did I write that?
It's always nice to hear it back, isn't it?
I know. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So yeah, there is no agenda, as always, in these podcast episodes. And I was just saying to Ellie that I feel like I'm in that kind of delirious space. So who knows what's going to happen in this conversation. Mm. But I would love to just hear from you in your own words. And I'm sure this changes all the time, but just how you came to be where you are right now in time and space. You know, just a little bit about your journey and how you got here.
Thanks so much. Yeah, so whenever I do these kind of introductions, and you know, I try not just to kind of talk about where I am in business, but business really is a massive part of my life. And so I'm now 38 and I live in Cornwall, and I've spent my entire life. I grew up in London. I was born and raised in London. And, you know, since I was very young, I had like a crystal clear vision of being a businesswoman. And initially I was in the music industry for many years. So when I was 21, I went to music college. I learned how to become a sound engineer, which was like my biggest dream ever, to learn how to run a recording studio. And it was actually the hardest thing that I've ever done in terms of learning how to, you know, signal flow and analog and using a mixing desk and all that stuff. And, you know, I worked so hard and I built up a recording studio, and then I was a live sound engineer for many years, and then I had two record labels, and you know, those kind of ended in like a crazy inferno of flames where my business partner fully ripped me off. My own mentor and business partner, and there was this massive court case, and it was this very dramatic time in my life in my late 20s. And then my marriage fell apart, and then I started a new business, which was more in this kind of realm of, I suppose at the time I would have called it like a wellness business. Cause like at the time that was like the phrase. And so now 10 years later, I've been an entrepreneur for like 14 years, which makes me feel so old, or 15 years even. And I feel like I've been through such a baptism of fire, and I've had so many experiences, so many highs and lows. And I know that business is where I'm supposed to be. This is the area in which all of my deepest learnings, my deepest connections, where I've really come to learn about myself. And that's like rippled outwards in terms of my relationships with my loved ones, with my family, with my friends, my hobbies, my creativity. All of this has sort of come out through the way that I've engaged with business. And so now I live in Cornwall. I'm married to my like best friend and soulmate. It sounds so cheesy, but it's true. And I have four stepchildren, and this is a life that I never thought I would have. And I'm just so grateful to the ride that I've been on. And that's why, like, I just wanted to sort of give gratitude to the entity of business itself, because it really has played like a pivotal role in where I am today.
I love that. And I feel very resonant with that, in that, like, when you even said like business is at the beginning of that, was like business being just such a huge part of your life. Like, I feel that so deeply as well. And sometimes I struggle with that, because I'm like, what, shouldn't there be more? Mm-hmm. And there are other, of course, very important things in my life, but at the core, like my business and my heart work is so, so important to me. And I love that you're like that you said that, because it almost gives permission to say, you know what, put my hands up and say yes.
Really
it is
important.
So important. And the teachings and the wisdom that like has taught me, again, like it's like the ultimate sort of, I don't know, growth journey, self-development journey, whatever words you want to use, but it is like, or healing practice, probably actually. Business has been my deepest healing modality.
Yeah. And, you know, I know what you mean by sometimes I think, am I too focused on business? And then I remember that it can seem like that because of the network. You know, we have so many networks in life, and, you know, you and I met through business, and a lot of my closest and best friends are incredible, wildly successful women in the world of business. And so sometimes I can feel like, oh, have I placed business too front and center in my life? But then I zoom out and I look at my wider network, you know, the friends I've had my whole life, the community I live in, my neighborhood, my family, and there's like literally thousands of them. And then I realize actually there are only a small number of us that have been called so strongly to work with business in this way and to place entrepreneurship, to place creative service at the heart of their life. And then I remember, no, this is not a coincidence. There's a reason that we've been so drawn to working with business in this way, working with leadership in this way. And so then I remember, oh yeah, this is actually like a very specific path that I'm on, and it's not a coincidence. And I'm going to just throw my heart and soul into this. So it is like a permission slip, like you say.
Yeah. And I mean, not that I needed it, but I did need it.
Me too.
And maybe someone else needed it as well. I'd love to hear more about the way your business has evolved over time, because I have watched, even, you know, in the, we haven't been connected for that long, only really maybe a year or so, actually, probably. But like, I've watched it evolve even in that time, but I'd love to hear some of the ways it's evolved from like that very first, those seedlings that you planted, however, 10 years ago, maybe some of the things that have been like, perhaps even just major milestones or major kind of anchors along the way that have.
Such a good question, because I've actually never thought about that. And while you were talking, something became really clear to me, which was, if I look right back to the beginning, to the initial kind of nameless vision that I held as a really young girl, and I, you know, I'm talking like under 10 years old, me and my best friend would dream about being in the music industry together. And I just had this absolute, like, specific desire to be in the recording studio, making music, working with sound, refining tone, writing songs, et cetera, et cetera. And I come from a really musical family, and we constantly sing and play and make music and write songs together and harmonize. And so I've always been really attracted to song. And it's a very creative practice to sit in front of your instruments and with your computer and to be able to literally create out of nothing, like an incredible layered song. And so I did that for, you know, the first, I don't know, 5 years of my entrepreneurship was being a music producer in the studio. But then I began to be restless, and I itched, and I wanted to play with like a record label and to create a record label and to work in the world of business and to make deals and to understand distribution and business contracts. And I was really fascinated by like what is inside a recording contract. And so I remember I bought this book and it was like music contracts. And I thought, oh, this is so exciting. And so that's when I started my record labels. And so I realized that even then there was this dual approach of the creative side and then the business side. And I think I've always been like that, where I'm equally fascinated by the creativity, but then also the container and the frameworks that hold that, and things like corporate governance and how to sit on a board, and like all of that fascinates me to this day. And it doesn't matter if you have like a very corporate type company, or if you're a sole trader like you and I are now, you can still like bring that energy and bring that very structured, I suppose, yang framework around your business. And I just find those two approaches really symbiotic. And so that's why over the last 5-6 years, I've always danced between like very creative transmissions, like working with plants, or like essential oils or cacao, or like holding ceremonies or leading people through visualizations. But then I've always watched very carefully the trajectory of my business. And I found it really fascinating to watch patterns and to watch how other people do business, like literally doing business. And so that's what's then drawn me into mentoring people in business, because I'm just in love with old-fashioned business. And so I like to kind of marry those two approaches together. I hope that makes sense, because I've never really said any of that before.
Oh, I love it, because it just, it makes so much sense to me anyway. I don't know about anyone else, but like, even as you were saying that, I just, like, I dance between that same thing of like, I love the sacred structure, the container. And for me, that's all about like, that is about the marketing and the website and the branding. You know, like there is that container, but then there's also the creativity, and I get like pangs for needing to guide, like write and guide meditations and take people, you know, like same thing, like bringing in the yoga. You know, for me, it's been yoga, it's been meditation and yoga nidra and embodiment, and I think that there's such a, it's very rare to find other people that are able to, not saying I've like nailed this, but like able to balance the two, because you're kind of constantly told like you're either a business coach and it's all about the structure, mm-hmm. or you're a yoga teacher and you're a, you know, you hold ceremonies, and to marry the two has always felt really, I've like found that really challenging, mm-hmm. to find that balance, and often have ended up tipping one way or the other, mm-hmm. and then having to kind of like come back to the center point a bit more, because there's like a longing for both.
Yes, I feel that too. A longing for both. And you're right, like that meeting point between the two is so juicy and so interesting and so actually underexplored. So underexplored. And I think that that's an art form that we sort of develop over the years. Because if I look back at how I used to do business in my 20s, it was like 100% on more of the like structural, outward focused, because that's how I was taught to do business. So my father is a businessman and we've been business partners several times over. And he initially taught me everything I know about business. And so we used to sit on a few boards together. Like he would sit on all of my record label boards. And then when we went through this enormous court case, which was 3 years in the High Court, like it was a serious, like my business partner, you know, engaged in criminal activities and I had to get the company out of the mess. And so like, it was a real, like, as I said, a baptism of fire. And so I was being, I suppose, encouraged and coached into playing strategic games that would kind of like allow us to triumph, let's say. And so I learned a lot about how you can kind of manipulate and how you can almost use your powers, your corporate powers, and like all of these kind of, and I think it's important to be aware of like to be aware of that so that you can come into right relationship with how you sit as a CEO in your own business. And even if you don't have a board, like we said, it's still understanding the integrity and the kind of energetic board, like of directors that stands guard over your business. But it's just so interesting because I really did come from like a very extreme version of that. And I've also explored the other extreme, like you talked about with the yoga and just being fully in the sort of content creation flow. But what I've now come back to through my work with my mentor is that she's taught me how important it is to focus on the actual containers of everything that you do. And what she means by that is like the energetic container of every program that you run, every one-to-one session that you hold, that you need to create impeccable energetic intentions that need to be woven into the actual containers of everything that you do, so that somebody entering into one of your capsules on a soul level feels safe to unfold in a specific way because you've woven that into the fabric of the container. Mm-hmm. And so that I feel like is a beautiful meeting point between like the kind of old paradigm corporate like structural and then focusing more on the like creative content creation side of it.
I definitely feel that sense of I think it's quite difficult to find models like to see that. I think there are very few people that actually like doing business in that way, and I think that's why, you know, that's why I'm really drawn to your offerings. And you know, there are a few people that I can see, and you can sense the purity in it. And like I remember, you know, as being part of one of your capsules, I, you know, remember that being like really, really, like really landing for me, and sort of looking and unpicking all of the grime that's like almost like covering up those intentions, I suppose, and looking really clearly and being very honest with ourselves. I mean, it's, you know, if you want to label it, it's the shadow work of mm-hmm. of, or it's looking into those parts that we don't necessarily want to face sometimes, but like really almost like scrubbing off all the kind of grimy bits and then leaving this pure intention of like creation or love or whatever that intention is, but just being really conscious of where it might be getting muddied, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And there's not many I don't think there's many people yet. I think it's coming. I think we're in a place of transition in that more and more people are doing this work, doing the energetic clearing process, I guess, to enable people to be working in that way. But there is so much mud still.
I know. And do you know what's so interesting? Because you're right, it is coming. And there's like a company that I've been working with who, I mean, it's literally like they're from another planet. They are creating an absolutely enormous global enterprise. And they plan to reach hundreds of millions of people. And there's a lot of funding and a lot of infrastructure behind them. And they have invented all of these new structures. So, for example, they have an energetic council of integrity. And they have pulled together business people from all over the world and like really big moguls in the world of business. You know, many names are very familiar. And they have come together and completely reinvented like the structure of a corporate business. And they've come up with all their own kind of strands. And like, I find that absolutely fascinating because that just shows you how if you spend good amounts of time really building your business up and really making sure that every structure and every container, and I'm not talking about container in terms of a group program, I mean the actual energetic container that holds your work and that holds the partnership between you and your business. And you're extremely precise with the intentions that you weave into that, then it just simplifies the process so that when people do step into the world of your business, there's this like felt sense. And all of that sort of like old-fashioned marketing and like, you know, the selling, all of these processes that then involve bringing people into the world of your business become so light and easy and free and aligned and joyful. And I'm just realizing how much there is still to explore as a collective in terms of learning the art of creating robust business structures that take all the best from the old fashioned, but bring in all the really good new stuff. It's so fascinating to me. I'm getting all excited even talking about it.
I love it. We could geek out on that. Totally. I feel like there's a lot of people at the moment who are feeling quite fragile, I think is the word, like within their business, because there is just, again, like there's this craving to do things in a different way, because the old ways haven't worked. Like for the majority of people, I worked with a business coach when I first set up my, again, came into the wellness world is what I'd probably call it, as a health coach, and like started that journey. I worked with a business coach, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but she was like, if she actually said to me in the discovery call, and my naivety was like, okay. She was like, if you follow the steps, you will be successful. Like if you follow the steps I tell you to. And I was like, okay. And then I didn't follow one of her steps and she fired me.
She fired you?
She fired me as a client.
Wow.
To my day is one of my proudest things, because I was like, yep. And it was like, at first I was horrified because I was like, oh my God, I've really insulted her. And but actually I was like, thank God she did, I've never been one to follow the steps particularly. Yes. And it was so out of alignment for me, but I feel like people have almost like the certain elements of the industry, and it's not just the coaching industry, but coaching industry is where I hang out quite a lot, or did used to hang out quite a lot. And so I see it quite a lot, is that there is just so much disempowerment for people. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we've been through a phase of, everyone has almost been told that the way they're doing it isn't right. If they're not reaching certain things, like there's something wrong with them. It must be a mindset block, or they're broken. They need to fix, they need to pay, they need to hire a coach to fix this, 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 and this. And so there's almost like a space of mistrust that people have now got in their own businesses.
Yes.
And that makes me really sad. And I was there, like, I didn't trust my business. I didn't trust like where it was taking me. And it wasn't financially rewarding me. It didn't feel great at the time, but I was like, well, I need to push through, or I need to go and hire someone else to fix this issue with myself. And so I feel like there's now a lot of people that feel really fragile around their business. Yes. And there's a risk of people letting go of them completely. Mm-hmm. And that kind of breaks my heart, because I would really, I don't know where this is going, but just really wanting to just get across this desire for people to feel really trusting of their business, but also feel like they can find their own way and they have the ability to find their own way. And yes, of course, seeking support and working with mentors, like, it's amazing if that energy is pure. And I think we're all starting to sense when that energy is pure and when it's not. But I just feel really passionate about how, like, making people feel like they're not broken if their business isn't creating six figures or whatever they want to create. Like, I don't know. I don't really know where that conversation's going, but hopefully you get the gist.
I do. And it's so, I was talking on somebody's mastermind last night and I said this exact thing, that there is no greater agony than the feeling of your own potential, which you can feel it. It's been burning in your heart your whole life. And yet you cannot understand why what you feel inside here is not matching what you're experiencing out here. And it's a very specific, particular type of agony. And it's very disheartening. Mm. And I think all of us will resonate with that. And I suppose this ties into what we said right at the beginning, which was, there's a reason that we've all been so drawn to working with the entity of business, with the field of business, sacred business. And sacred business is a catch-all term, but I suppose it really just means like true business, heart-led business, sovereign business, business in service, creative service. And so in a way, it's not surprising that those of us that are drawn to it then experience all of our deepest wounds connected with our business. Because if you look at all the specifics of like what it is that we're feeling so disheartened about, like underneath will be these very core narratives, core beliefs, core wounds that are very particular to us and yet very universal. And so for me, 100%, like, there was a tangible shift in terms of the metrics of my business. So before 2019, for years, I'd been really slogging my guts out. And yet, if I could sort of describe the energetics of how I was in my business, it was very feverish. It was very hungry. It was very like watchful, very mistrustful, like you said, because that's all I knew. It was very much, I need to look out for myself, because if I don't, I'm going to get screwed over. And then the time came where I discovered a couple of modalities, one being the Gene Keys, where I was finally able to look honestly at my own shadow. And I was able to methodically work through some of my own wounds and become radically honest with myself and all the beliefs and narratives and paradigms and other people's templates that I picked up around how to do business. And really, it was that journey back to wholeness that has resulted in me going from pretty broke to having a healthy six-figure business. And the only thing I can attribute that to is this journey back to wholeness. And it's the same thing that we said at the beginning. There is a reason that we've all been drawn to working in the field of business, because ultimately it's there to serve our own evolution. Yes, we are there to serve the sacred, but we do that by serving our own evolution. So take heart, those of you listening who have felt the anguish of feeling a lack of trust and feeling despair in your own unrealized potential, because that's that bittersweet journey, the hero's journey, is exactly what we're here to do. Lean in.
Yeah. And that makes me think, and you might not appreciate me asking you this, but I'd love to talk about failures in business.
Oh yeah. I have a lot of those.
Well, because, you know, like that's kind of come up for me recently, is like, as I'm preparing to launch something for the first time in ages, because I have been avoiding launching because I feel like I was burned. Like, I feel like so many times I've had some really beautiful, successful launches, but I've had far more unsuccessful launches. I mean, and I say unsuccessful in that, like, financially, in that they haven't reached the outcome that I thought they were going to when I created them. They have all taught me something, and I definitely, you know that everything has happened in, you know, in a pattern, and it has been for whatever reason. But I would just love to hear how, and like, maybe there's one or a few that you could talk about, but I don't think we talk about failure enough.
You're right. And there's so much material. Like, every single one of us has more failures than successes. I mean, I have had so many failures, and they really traumatized me.
Yeah.
And actually, that specific trauma, which took years to unpick and unravel, like, working through that trauma and integrating it is what's had a direct effect on my business now. Because, as I said, if we cast back to when I was doing the recording studio, I mean, there were some hideous experiences where I was doing live sound at a concert, and there would be like some kind of a technical error. This is so standard, but I don't have a thick enough skin to weather the fact that an entire gig goes quiet because, like, my cables have gone bust, and the whole audience is stamping their feet and chanting "sort it out," which is exactly what happened.
So triggering.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally the most traumatic experience. And then when I had my record labels, I launched a record label just as the music industry imploded, and digital came in, downloads. And the business model of music, digital music, is horrific. So a CD retails for 15 quid in the shop, and you sell a CD to a shop for an export price of, I don't know, between £5 and £10. When you have your music on Spotify or on Apple or on any of these digital platforms, you're literally getting like a thousand times less, literally a thousand times less. You put an album on there, it needs to be listened to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times for you to make the same as what you made with one CD. And so I worked so hard on my record label. It was my biggest dream. And it was almost impossible to make a profit. And we were, Lauren, let me tell you, we were reviewed every single week in all the top magazines and newspapers, in The Guardian. I remember we had CD of the Week. Like, our artists were really well known. And yet we didn't make a profit for the first 3 years. And we had investors who put money in and they just didn't get a return on their investment. So you're not just dealing with your own sense of personal failure, but you're dealing with other people's money. And then, you know, obviously then I had one of my business partners who stole £300,000 out of the company. So I had to then, you know, manage other people's financial losses there. And then when it came to selling my label, I just didn't make what I should have made. And that was a mixture of trying to sell a label in a crumbling music industry, but it was also, you know, how do you value intellectual property? There were so many things that meant when the money arrived in my account, I didn't feel proud of myself at all. I felt sick. I felt like I failed. It felt like a massive failure. And to be honest, when I look back at my trajectory in the music industry, there's a lot of bad vibes there, and I'm still working through those. And then when I transferred into my wellness business, I started with network marketing with doTERRA, which I'm sure lots of your listeners know. And, you know, that involved me because there is a lot of purity in the business model of network marketing. I still stand to that. But having to cast a vision that is so misunderstood, I was constantly being judged and ridiculed and misunderstood. You know, oh, are you in a pyramid scheme? It's like, no, I'm not in a pyramid scheme, but I understand why you think that. And it's very sales orientated, doTERRA. So I was constantly having to sell and abide by a 30-day sales cycle. And I felt uncomfortable 99% of the time. And I gaslit myself a lot. And I was taught modes of leadership that are actually very damaging. And so I look back on my time in doTERRA with a lot of shame, but I'm quite open about it now. I wasn't open about it at the time. And this is what I mean when things began to turn, when I began to be honest about the fact that I felt shame, that I felt disappointment, and that things weren't really going to plan. That's when things began to go to plan, because my community could feel that something had changed in me. And that's when I began to create offerings that were real and that were mine and that contained my truth inside of them. And the minute I began to do that, which was a result of all of this like radical honesty and facing all my shame and my shit, that's when things changed. And so now I'm much more transparent and honest about the failures and about things feeling icky. And I think it's such an important conversation. And I'm really, like, I could tell you a million more failures, but we won't use up all the time. But, you know, please let it be known that, and I know from a lot of my close friends who are very successful now, like, we've all experienced so many failures. You can't avoid it. And actually, you just can't avoid it. And it's really important to learn how to manage something not going to plan. But it's crucial to actually do the work, the deep work required to integrate those experiences and heal the trauma. Mm. It's really important.
What do you think's like, you know, underpinning that fear of like something going wrong? Like, I know it's going to be different for everyone in subtle ways, but actually I feel like I like to dig deep.
Me too.
Sometimes too, you know, I can obsessively dig deep, but I am always curious, like, it's never as it seems. Like, it's never just about the thing that you think it is. Like, mm-hmm. What do you feel like is that real underpinning mm-hmm. of those fears around failure?
Such a good question, because of course, initially it's fear of rejection. But for me personally, when I dug into it, I realized, and this is so random and so specific, and this is why you need to do this deep work. I realized that I think that I'm cursed and that I have this weird bad luck. Why does it happen for other people and not me? I know I have the potential. Why is it not working for me? And when I dug down to where that belief came from, it came from, and I've said this before on a podcast, when I was 14 years old, I was in love with a boy. And one day a love letter arrived at my school and everyone in my year read it. And we were like, oh my God, he's in love with you. And I literally was on cloud nine for about a month. Until I found out it was fake. It was a fake love letter written by my cousin. And it was literally the single most traumatic, horrifying, upsetting. Because I realized that the thing I thought was real was not. And that I can no longer trust in things that I think are real. And that yet again, like, boys fancy other girls, but they don't fancy me. So literally that, it felt like this like unlucky curse was hanging over me. And I feel like I've carried that all the way through my 30s. And I've had to do a lot of work to unpick that, because that goes down to like your primal relationship with life itself, with the sort of natural order of things. What is your relationship to the natural order of things? What is your relationship to the idea of divine justice? If that is not rock solid, which it isn't for most people, then look at how that's manifested in your life and you can reprogram that. And so for me personally, that like feeling of being cursed and being unlucky is directly responsible for a lot of the ways that I hold myself back when I, for example, launch a product.
Yeah, see, I knew there would be something in there.
Some specific.
It's never like as obvious as we think it is it? Well, sometimes it is, but 9 times out of 10, it's like
there's always more.
Oh, like you get to like, oh yeah, that happened. And like, you know, I think teenage years particularly, I mean, they are brutal.
Oh, brutal.
Brutal. And there are certain things that, you know, like when you get that same feeling that you got as a teenage, you know, I went to an all girls school. It was pretty intense, shall we say. and, you know, like at that time, the most important thing in your life is like the boy you fancy, or your friend who, you know, like your best friend, and then you have a falling out. I can remember those like plummeting sensations in the body that are, when you do something in later life that brings back those sensations, it can literally transport you back to that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And where you look at yourself as this like damaged, sullied, weird, unlovable person. I still, to this date this morning, I had that where I realized that I was triggered by something this morning, which is too petty and boring to even share. But I realized immediately it's triggered by this weird belief that I'm less pure than other people. Because at school, like I just had this weird feeling that I was walking around and I was such a weirdo. And like, so yes, it's that thing where you feel like that outcast teenager.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it can feel like, oh, how do I climb that mountain? But your business partnership, like this is what sacred business is. The minute that you consciously decide to partner with your business for the service of the whole, that's when it becomes its own business entity. And when your business, like a soul contract, genuinely develops and you can like bring your trauma to that and consciously engage with it and lean in. And that's when things become very magical and where like these extraordinary healing trajectories can and do unfold.
So with the launching side of things, how do you do things differently now than you did at the beginning? How do you?
I love that question so much. I would say the number one thing that I do differently is I'm transparent. So for example, when I sell, like I in the past would have been selling and it would have been, I would have had my own underlying agendas, which would be to sell the product, to make money. And then I would have my output. So there would be like one side that I'm showing to the customer. And then there would be like the agenda behind it. Now, when I sell, I'm like quite meta about it in terms of, I'm like, hey, community, I've got this thing that I'm really excited. Like, for example, my upcoming mastermind for which you did the graphics. And I'm so excited about it because it's been like months of building this up, like strand by strand in partnership with my business. And so then the time comes to begin romancing my community. And so I tell them, friends, you're about to be sold to for like 3 weeks or a month or whatever. I'm going to make sure that you enjoy every drip of this. You're going to be on the receiving end of an exquisite courtship. And then I kind of bring them into the process where I'm like, selling can be an act of devotion. It can be an exquisite, immersive experience where you actually have the opportunity to harness a lot of intelligence because you lean into your community, you read and you sense how they're receiving your courtship. And it gives you all this, like, these deeper layers of insight into, like, who is this really for? Like, how are these partnerships being formed between the offering and your community? And in the past, I would have, like, masterminded it internally, and then I would have, like, unleashed the kind of I would have, like, yeah, begun doing the kind of process. Whereas now it feels immersive and transparent. And because it feels immersive and transparent, like, I don't mind if someone is like, oh yeah, I'm not interested, I'm just gonna, like, click off and mute Ellie for the next 3 weeks. Because, like, they know I was transparent about it. So every corner of how I launch now, it's like an extension of my art. Because if I'm feeling in any way, shape, or form afraid to be transparent in how I launch, then that means that there's a part of me that doesn't feel worthy of the partnership I have with the creation itself. Mm. And so transparency is key. And that's how you then discover your own unique selling artistry and your own bespoke launching sequences. Mm. You don't have to launch like everybody else. You also don't need to be different. You could do a completely bog standard launch if that feels aligned to you. But, you know, it's crazy how little we actually go in and then discover, like, well, how do I actually like to sell? What do I think selling is? How, you know, what would romancing my community feel like? And we don't give ourselves enough space. But yes, transparency, I would say that's the main thing.
Mm. Is that linked with your gene keys? Because I think we had this conversation, because that transparency and intimacy is, like, in human design is my soul, like, my purpose.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not quite sure how that correlates with gene keys, because I'm still kind of trying to get my head around that. But
I would say it's not really a gene keys thing, the idea of transparency, but the romancing. So in gene key, in human design and gene keys, you and I are both a 4-6, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the fourth line is very much about romancing and selling a higher ideal. And, like, I really resonate with that. The idea of, like, for example, when I talk about the gene keys, I'm not somebody who's going to tell you each of the nitty gritty and, like, give you, like, layer upon layer upon layer of insight and nuance. It's more that I know how to speak about the gene keys in a way that you'll fall in love with what could be. I love painting a picture. I love using word artistry, and I like directly addressing a community and, like, wooing them. Mm. Like the courtship ritual, because I like wooing people by casting a vision of, like, what life could be. And that is very fourth line, I suppose, but I don't want to point to a system too much and say, you know, the gene keys taught me how to sell, because it's not at all like that. The gene keys helped me understand why it is that I love to woo and romance and to court. And so it makes sense to me. Whereas, like, somebody who holds a first line there has a completely different set of strengths when it comes to understanding how to sell to their community and how to communicate. So there's a lot of gold to be found there, but ultimately, really, it's got to point back in, and you've got to discover your authentic way of communicating and offering your gifts to your community.
Mm, I love that. And I think that, like, you've obviously discovered, like, that has been enhanced, and I suppose mm-hmm. gene keys has helped you return home to that wholeness. Yes. And I feel like that with human design very much, like, it has been the mirror that I needed to look in to see parts of me that I knew existed, but I needed to almost give myself permission to actually, like, rise into. And I found, like, the profile number, the 4-6, like, I found that to be the most helpful part of my mm-hmm. human design understanding when it comes to communication and business. Like, that, if I think that would be the one thing I would say for people to, like, really get to know that, because it showed, like, understanding my fourth line around being, like, the way that my, you know, way I build community, and that it's not about, like, talking to the masses, is actually this intimate group, and it's word of mouth, and it almost gave me permission to step back and say, I don't need to do things in the way mm-hmm. you know, in these big, I don't know, like, Facebook ads style.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, it's like, I just need to trust that when I'm speaking to the people that are, like, my soul family, my soul friends, they like that will ripple out.
Yes. And it has for you.
It genuinely has. It genuinely has. And like, it still kind of amazes me.
Yeah.
But it's actually worked.
It does work. I think you're a really good example of that. And I mean, think about this, the partnerships that you're forming now and how you and I have even come into contact. It's and how it was a seamless, immediate familiarity that we just immediately felt extremely comfortable with each other. We're on the same page. We've done so much work together and will continue to do so. And how our friendship and partnership has brought in other connections and other work from various different ways. And that's a lovely traditional way of doing business.
Like, yeah, it's like the old ways.
Yeah, it's the old way. And for us, that works perfectly.
Yeah. But for others, it's not the, you know, and I think that's why that's why all these, like, you know, follow these steps or this,
yes,
you know, buy my launch program or whatever. Like, it just, it feels so icky to me, because it's like, but we don't all work the same.
Exactly.
We're all like unique beings. Mm-hmm. I love the wording that you use, like the romancing your community. Like, oh, that feels just so delicious. And
I know.
And if I think I notice in myself and in others, like, there's this great big amount of passion when we're creating something, and then it comes to bringing it, like, sort of taking it from the safety of, like, you know, the creative space, and maybe it's like hidden on your website or whatever, to then putting it out there, and then instantly I feel myself going into, nobody's going to want it. Like, nobody signed up yet. Oh my God, and everyone's rejecting me. Nobody's interested. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. Oh, it's a failure. And then I go, you know what? I'm just going to take it off my website and pretend that never happened.
Oh yes, the classic. Yeah, I've seen that so many times. But it's so bizarre because to this day, every time I launch something, that comes up. Every single time is you always have significant periods during the launch where you're like, oh my God, no one's enrolling. And then there's always the last minute legends and the avalanche. Never once have I not been proven right or wrong. I don't know how to phrase what I'm going to say. Never once have I not had a rueful smile on my face after the cart closes, where I'm like, I knew it was going to be like double what I thought. And so like, it's that courage to keep the cart open as long as you said, you know what, if people don't enroll, who gives a shit? You're like, okay, cool. This particular creation, like, for one reason or another, and I'm sure there'll be reasons for it, it wasn't the right time. On to the next one.
Usually if it's come from a place of fear.
Yeah.
If it's stemming. Like,
yes,
if the
exactly.
creation has come from a place, like, if it's not actually a pure creation, if it's like, oh my God, I remember a coach saying to me once, like, okay, work out how much money you need. And we'll, like, work out, like, what you can create and how much you need to basically kind of. And so I did it, and then I just went into total fear mode. Like, I literally went into, because the pressure, and because I was creating something from a sense of lack and not having enough money and needing this. Mm-hmm. And of course it didn't, like, it did not, the energetics of it were not pure. The energetics just went mm-hmm. And then that just led to more of my mistrust in myself. So, like, mm-hmm. that cycle. So I think when something comes from that, like, pure creative place, and I remember, again, you saying this before about, like, noticing where in the process you get the most, like, stuck, I suppose,
yes.
or where you start to almost, like, nitpick the most.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that really stuck with me.
Yes. And also, and I know we're coming to the end, but I just wanted to insert, there's also sometimes you can be creating offerings from a place of alignment and you decide to be a bit bold in terms of the framework. So I'm going to give you an example. Me and Brittany Eastman, who's one of my closest friends and a woman who I very much admire. And this is like 4 or 5 months ago. We decided to create something completely new. We decided to not make it in any way, shape or form a kind of you will learn A, B and C. And we decided to just host a series of conversations and to invite people into it. And we were going through like a very weird time in our business, in our respective businesses. And so we created this container that was not a container. And we also set a choose your own price. And there were a couple of details, like, for example, the choose your own price. We had some suggestions. And what we didn't realize is that when people choose their price, obviously it says their name and then the price. We had something like 467 people going into the cart and then abandoning the cart. Guess how many people we enrolled? 9.
Wow.
And we could have easily been like, oh my God, this like thing that we've created that we thought we'd sell like 500 tickets to, we've sold 9. We could have felt very embarrassed and felt like failures. But instead, I knew it wasn't because it wasn't from a place of purity. It's because we dared to experiment and we learned a couple of valuable lessons that people are not ready to put their name next to an amount of money. And mm-hmm. I got a lot of feedback from people saying, I really wanted to join, but I was too embarrassed to choose the lowest option because I like can't bear to that you know that I'm like hard up for cash at the moment and I can only afford this. And so it made me realize that sometimes when we take the courage and we go the maverick route and we do things a bit differently and we play with new templates or new ways of being that our community might not be ready for. And that's okay. Like I felt a clear conscience. I knew that we'd done our best and we'd been a bit maverick, but that the community wasn't quite ready and we dusted ourselves off. And so I just wanted to give that example too, that sometimes things can absolutely not go to plan when you really did do everything right, in inverted commas. But sometimes it's just not quite the right time. And that's cool. Like, I'm still glad that I gave it a shot and I learned a lot from that experience.
Mm. Yeah, there's nothing is futile.
Nothing is futile.
Oh, I like, there are so many things I also would love to dive into, but I am conscious that actually there's probably been quite a lot already. So
yes, we can always today, do a part two.
Yeah, I would love to do a part two. But for today, I would just love to find out from you, just one thing I'm always curious to ask people is around their like daily rituals and their like non-negotiable, I don't want to use the word self-care, but you know, the non-negotiable ways and things that you do for yourself to keep mm-hmm. your nervous system. Mm-hmm. Like I'm fascinated by the nervous system. And I just think it's like the layer that we forget to look at, but how do you support yourself? And I think in business, it's one of the missing things that's not talked about enough. How do you support your nervous system whilst going through this, you know, like constant evolution and the growth and the lessons and the learnings of running a business?
Really good question. Really, really good question, because the role of my central nervous system in my creative process and in how I run my business has been my biggest focus for the last 6 months. So right now, that is my number one priority. And the way that I tend to that every day, it's what I'm working. I'm in an apprenticeship at the moment with Hero Boga, a 9-month apprenticeship, and she's teaching me everything she knows so that I can then bring that into my mentoring work. And she has taught me the true meaning of sovereignty, which is so different to how it's used so often in our industry. And she's taught me a practice whereby every day, at least once, I engage in some energy hygiene practices, which have the intention and effect of purifying the center of my head and casting out everybody else's thoughts, opinions, attachments, projections, enmeshments, etc., etc., so that what is left is my voice and my voice only. And I cannot explain to you the profound effect that has had in terms of how I relate to my creative process, in terms of the decisions I make in my business, in terms of how I'm in daily conversations with people where I don't project out of my body and like go into them. It's meant I've been able to have really difficult conversations and stay sovereign and stable and grounded. And it's like a whole other topic of conversation, this idea of what is sovereignty. But I would say for me, that is my non-negotiable, is clearing out all the debris so that all that is left is my voice. And that way, And it has had a direct effect on my central nervous system because I just don't feel overstimulated anymore. I feel calm, precise, and deliberate.
And that overstimulated piece, like, is where I think so much has, like, we just absorb so much. Like, this is why I have to take regular time off of Instagram. And like, I don't know if you have open crown and
mine. I do.
Yeah, same here.
Fully and open.
Yeah, so you almost like need to take, like, obviously, you know, like lots of people do anyway, but that particularly for me, I resonate with that because I can't hear myself over all of the stuff
that
I'm watching, reading, listening. Like, so it's just so important to do that.
Absolutely. It's been a revelation because not only do you tune out other people's thoughts, but you don't pedestal people. You don't place people, you don't act as a supplicant to even the things that you admire, because you clean up the relationship that you hold with your business, with your ideas, with other people, with teachings that you love, because you've basically taken them out of your head and you've put them separate. So it's literally physical sovereignty. That's the key here. And it's just, it has an immediate effect on your central nervous system. It's unbelievable. So that is my non-negotiable, and that's something I will carry until the day I perish. On that note.
Wow, on that note, I think that we'll wrap up. I would just before we close, I would love just to, if you can just share how people can connect with you, if you've got anything exciting coming up that you want to talk about, you know, how you best like to, you know,
woo the people
into your community, romance them.
How can you be courted by me? So I have a few things, and thank you for asking. So the best place to connect with me is, I suppose, on Instagram, where it's Ellie Silin, or on my website, Designed by Your Fair Self. Basically, you're going to see a lot of Lauren's work on all of my spaces. And my website's elliesilin.com. And I have a couple of different size things coming up. You can work with me one-to-one for 3 months on your business. You can do little Gene Keys activation sessions with me. Or you can choose to go into a deep 6-month immersive capsule with me called Phoenix, which I'm very excited about, which is going to be a curricular mentorship capsule where I'm going to take people through quite a structured curriculum and like create a lot of momentum and fire and movement in a business. It's going to be a full spectrum rebirth. And then I know that leading up to that, I'm going to be creating a couple of like small experiences, like kind of masterclass type things, actually around the art of romancing your community. That's really alive in me. So stay tuned, because there's some like really lush things coming, I'd say, in the next couple of weeks, I can tell.
Oh, I'm excited for that. Amazing. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone for listening to Unraveling today. And I really urge you to connect with Ellie, to follow her work. She writes such beautiful captions. That doesn't sound very sexy, does it? But her captions, that they are like mini activations in themselves. So you could go and just binge on her Instagram and like you would 100% leave feeling like sparked in some way. But yes, thank you everyone for sharing this space with us. I'm always so grateful to that you listened, and please do share this episode with anyone that you feel it would resonate with. And until next time, thank you. Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure. Mwah.